Today's date is April the 2nd, 2024. The message today is grace. Holy Scripture, Isaiah the 8th chapter, 19th verse. Ephesians 2nd chapter, 4 through the 10th verse. 4th chapter of Ephesians and the 7th verse. Forgiving. Proverbs the 3rd chapter, 9 through 10. Testimony. Revelation 12th chapter and the 11th verse. And thanks for joining us. I will be expounding on the word of the Lord just briefly here. And the teaching is holiness according to the biblical authority for the chosen of Jesus Christ. The teaching is holiness, the living word of Jesus Christ for prophecy. So when I say holiness, I'm speaking on behalf of doctrine in which Jesus produced during the course of his works throughout all four gospels this John, excuse me, this Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I will be speaking here on behalf of the word of the Lord. So it's Matthew, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So this is the work that Jesus Christ produced during the course of his ministry on the earth, which is holiness. So I want to be briefly expounding on the word of God on behalf of grace, because we have privilege. We, as people of faith, we have privilege when we are called of Christ or chosen of Christ. So here I want to speak briefly here on the book of Isaiah, how that Isaiah was exhorting the church on behalf of whom to avoid. We do need to know whom to avoid. Whom to avoid for the faith. Whom to avoid and what works to avoid. So here Isaiah is exhorting the church to avoid particular services here. So this is the 8th chapter of Isaiah. I'm over in the old right now. These are the old prophets. Isaiah is a major prophet. He's not a minor prophet. A minor prophet have a short word, just a few pages. That's a minor prophet. But Isaiah, he have a major work that he is performing here. And he is here warning, meaning he is exalting the church. The word exaltation is defined as warnings. The word exhortation is a noun, and the definition of that word is instruction or guidance or warning or teachings. So teachings is very important. It's very important for those who believe in the word of the Lord to understand teaching. So I'm teaching here on behalf of holiness. So why is it important? Why is it important for us to understand whom the teacher is? And I'm going to answer that question. It is very important for us to know whom the teacher is simply because teaching is for living. Teaching is supposed to develop structure. Thanks for joining us. So here, Isaiah is exhorting the church. He's warning the church not to follow those who request something of them. So this is the 8th chapter of Isaiah in the 19th verse. And when they shall say unto you, who is they? They can be friends. I'm just using this statement as an example. They can be friends, or they can be family, or they can be a number of group of people. However, Isaiah is here warning the believer, Israel, at this time. He was warning Israel not to indulge in any kind of giving of their confidence to a particular kind of a worker. 19 verse, I'm going to read this once again. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizard that peep, the one that have familiar spirit, that is the reader, that is, that's the reader, that's the crystal ball reader, or the palm reader, you have several different names that they name themselves. However, Isaiah here is here warning Israel not to heed to any kind of assisting these individuals who may invite you to join up with these kind of people. Why? Because these kind of people are not to be believed upon. Guess who else warned? Guess who else exhorted the church not to believe in these kind? Moses did. That was over in the under the Pentateuch. Now we don't live out of the Pentateuch anymore. Israel was the nation that was under the prophet Moses. Moses, he laid down the legislation. He put all the laws up for Israel after that Israel was developed and delivered from under Pharaoh, the nation of Egypt land, because they were in slavery. So after that Moses did the work over in Egypt land, then Moses exited the church and delivered them over into a place which was the wilderness. However, Isaiah is here confirming to the church all over again and warning them not to allow anyone to influence them to indulge in any kind of services that these kinds of people produces. So I know here in America, I'm in America. So in here in America, we have them here. We have those individuals that say that they are Christians, and they are not. They do not believe in Jesus Christ, but that's who they say they are. And many don't confess that religion, but they are involved in indulging in services with those who practice these kinds of services. And when that's it, I'm still reading here, Isaiah, the 8th chapter and the 19th verse. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep. That's one of the others that reads. These individuals are very deadly. And so here and they are producing when you allow them to work with you, they're producing a wicked work. So this is why our Heavenly Father is giving Isaiah a word for the people so that they don't ever believe in them and don't work with any of their practices. So often when people are in trouble, they like to go and search for counselors. Many of them in America, they call themselves counselors when they're working with the familiars. The woman usually, if she is involved in that type of work, she calls herself, if she's deceiving the church, she calls herself a bishop. So if she calls herself a bishop, she's pretending that she have counsel so that the church can come to her and pay her for direction. But here Isaiah is giving the church the actual name of these, the actual works that these kinds of people work with. And unto the wizards that peep. So the wizard is the one that peeps through the spirits of a man's mind so that they can understand what are they thinking. And that mother. And you have another person here. They work with chatting. They are chatters. They chats. Now over here under the Pentateuch, I'm going to run over here right quick. After that, I am completed with this scripture. I'm going to read over this once again. 19 verse, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter. This is the type of work they do. When someone is muttering, that means that they're saying some words, but their words is not clear. Their words is muffled together. So hold just a second. So I'm going to look this word up to see exactly what does that word mean. So the word mutter is a noun, and it's defined as speech that is not clear. It's not clear, but this is what they do. So the Bible here, Isaiah is here exhorting the church, do not believe in them, and don't allow no one to introduce you to them. Because often our family or our friends can have the wrong idea, and they can think that these kind of people is safe. So they're not introducing you to them because they think they're gonna do you some harm. They are introducing you to them because they are influenced by them that they are safe, but they're not. Okay, the one to have the familiar spirit refers to the witch. Those are witches. And the one to have the wizard spirit is the soothsayer. That's the one that peeps. The better word for the mutterer is chirp, meaning that they're whispering, but their words is not clear. So often when you have problems, you know, you have family members or friends, they don't mean any harm, but they introduce you to these type of people because they are amazed at them because they can see. Now they can see, but their sight is under what? Their sight is under, is controlled by the devil. So that's why we don't want to ever entertain them or allow them to give us a word. Also, one of the works they do is the medium. That's the witch. that gives warning messages. Now, those messages they give may just be accurate, but they don't need to talk to us or no one else. But many is influenced to believe in them. But Isaiah is exalting the church, meaning this means that he is warning the church, don't ever touch those kind. Don't allow them to talk to you. Don't allow them to work with you, and don't allow anyone to introduce you to them, because the work that they're doing is wicked. So he is exhorting and warning the church, don't turn to the witch. Why? Because the witch, there's no confirmation in Holy Scripture to turn to them. So I'm going to read this last part of the scripture. Now I'm going to start over the scripture. And when they shall say unto you, this 19th verse of the 8th chapter, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? So Isaiah is here exhorting the people, don't seek unto those kind, because they are dead, meaning they're dead in sin. The Bible declares that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So this particular person is still dead in sin. So that's why Isaiah is exhorting the church, don't believe in them, don't trust them, don't indulge in none of their beliefs, because they are there to destroy. So I want to run over here, and I want to share what Moses had to say about them. Now, we don't live live under the Pentateuch anymore, but the work is still good. Why? Because our Heavenly Father gave Moses a word. Now, Moses warned the church, he exhorted the church not to. That's out of Deuteronomy 18 in the 18th chapter. This is where Moses was laying down the commands for Israel, because Israel was now developed out of Egypt land. So now our Heavenly Father is giving Moses directions as to how to warn the church and what laws to put before them so that they can have a brand new way in a brand new life. So Moses is over here teaching the church not to believe in those who have these kinds of practices. So it's good for us to know what directions to take, because we are on the earth. We are on the earth around the flesh. Where the devil is, the devil uses those who work with these kinds of works. How do I know that? I know that because the prophets warns the church against any type of indulgence with any of their practices. So here Moses is, the church is on the elevator. They're being elevated, and they are being taught whom to touch and whom not to touch. So we need to know that too. You know why? Because these kind of people is in the land. So if we're going to believe in Jesus Christ, we need to know whom to touch and whom not to touch. So here, see, when we are being elevated in the Word of God, we are in a land where all these type of practices is available to whom? To people. So if we don't know not to touch those kinds of people, then we can error. And if we error and touch them, we can suffer for long periods of time. So many say, well, why would the Lord allow such to happen? Well, that's why I got people to teach, because teachers are to lay down structure and to give direction and to build. So we are going to warn our children. I'm reminded of family. If we have children, we're going to warn our children which directions to take and which directions to go in, and whom we think is safe to associate with, and whom the parents think that individuals that is there is not safe. We're going to do that because we love our children. So I want to use this statement as an example. The fact that I have children, I want to tell them whom is safe to deal with. Well, you don't want your children to deal with those who are abusing drugs. You want to tell your child, well, I don't want you to deal with, I'm just going to make up this name. I'm not going to give any names out because I'm not trying to hurt anybody. But we're going to tell our children, don't deal with Jane Doe. That's just a made up name. Or John Doe. We're going to tell them if they are abusing themselves with drugs, why are we going to give them instructions not to deal with that kind of person? Because we don't want them to develop like that. We want them to develop a healthy, respectful, moral, directive life. So maybe Jane Doe won't go to school. Well, you wouldn't want your child, if they're old enough, if they're already in school, you wouldn't want your child to deal with Jane Doe, because Jane Doe have detoured from her education. I'm just using that as an example. So the same with the Lord. The Lord wants us to know about these kinds of people because, you know why? Because they are there. So we are elevated in the Lord, in his word, and we are developed in his word, in salvation, for his holiness. He wants us to know that these kinds of people is circulating on the earth, because our friends don't intend to introduce us to these kinds of people, but these kinds of people are deceptive. So they can tell your best friend, and often they have names, they can know your name. Why? Because they are evil and they have gifts, and they can know your name. Well, tell your sister's name is Jane Doe. I'm just using that statement as an example. Your sister's name is Jane Doe. So she needs some help. Tell her to come see me. So this is what Isaiah was explaining and warning the church about. So I'm just using that name as an example. So if someone tell you and make an introduction, you'll know to rebuke that idea, meaning to resist it. You'll know to resist that idea and not indulge in such activities. So this is what Moses, he was warning the church also not to indulge in or associate with or to engage in any of these kind of services. Why? Because the church was under prophecy. The church was in a place where our Heavenly Father had been given the church a word, had reestablished the church, had given the church new rules and new laws. So the church had been rebuilt over here. So since the church had been rebuilt by the teaching and the guidance of Moses, then the church needed to understand not to get involved or not to indulge in any other such services as these kind. So I want to read here, 18th chapter of this is Deuteronomy 18th chapter and the 9th verse. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, So here, Moses is prophesizing to the church. He's in prophecy. So he is exhorting the church on behalf of whom to deal with and whom to indulge, whom to allow themselves to become a part of. Why? Because they are elevated. They have the word of God. They have direction. They have been elevated by what? By the teaching of Moses. 9th verse, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So the Lord has given them this land. He's giving them a new place. He's given them some property and territory. But there are enemies and adversaries in this location. Thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations and of those not and. I'm going to read this once again. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. So Moses is warning the church, don't ever indulge in any of those practices. Don't touch it. Because why? Because that work that they're doing produces an abomination. Abominations. So let me look up the word abominations so we can understand what Moses is talking about here. So many says, if we're not living over there, why do you need to talk about it? Well, it's good to understand the history of things. It's good to understand what did the old prophets think. So now we do have a greater prophet than what Moses was, because that's what was spoken. We follow what is spoken. So since we follow what is spoken, then we need to understand what did history say. It's good to look back at history so we can understand what was established for living. Now, we don't live over there. We live under Christ, but we are in a nation. We are in places where these kind of people is working. So we know not to touch them. If you know not to touch fire, so if you don't know the difference between fire and non-fire, many get burned because they didn't know the difference. So we need to know the difference in holy and unholy. We need to know the difference in hot and cold. We need to know the difference. So if we know the difference, then we won't go in those directions. We won't touch it. We won't be burned by the fire, meaning that we will not indulge in those type of works. So many of us got burned. Why? We got burned because we didn't know the difference in hot and cold in the spirit of the word. Hot and cold, we're hot and cold in the physical. Many children got burned because their parents did not tell them the difference in hot water and cold water. So they can, you know, at a very young age, and you might just bump into it and run into it if you are on the earth. But we don't want our children to make mistakes and touch something hot because it burns. So it's the same thing, similar, not the same thing, but similar in the spirit of the word. So Moses here, what he had done was obeyed our Heavenly Father. He obeyed him. I'm going to give a definition of this word, abomination. So here the dictionary gives us a definition, and the definition of it is as an enemy. As an enemy. So here Moses is giving the people a word here. Don't touch the abominable thing. Don't touch it. So I'm going to continue here. 10th verse. There shall not be found among any of there. This is the 10th verse. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. So he's here, this is Moses, he is here on the scene warning the church not to touch these kinds of people. Why? Because they're working. So that work, Israel was prohibited from touching. Israel was prohibited from touching any of these kinds of workers. 11th verse, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. So here on the earth, these kinds of people is here. So when we are born of the word of Christ, and when I say that, when we've been through the process of salvation, then we need to know about these kinds of people because they are there. And we need to know not to touch them. Don't touch them and don't touch their work. And don't allow anyone to give us any influence in touching them. But this was over here in the book of Deuteronomy. Now many say, well, okay then, so if I am a Christian, can these kinds of people do me any harm if I listen to them or if I indulge in any of their works? Yes, they can do you some harm if you indulge in their works. Why? Because that is works, that's labor. So if you don't know any better, you can go in those kind of places and you can suffer some harm. So many suffer that kind of harm because they did not know any better. Okay, so here, 12th verse. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. So Moses is giving Israel an explanation about why not to touch that kind of work and those kinds of people. He's for all that do these things are an abomination. So those who are doing that kind of work is what? An enemy. That kind of work is developing these kinds of sinners, I would say sinners, those who are in sin, into what? A level of what? Sin called an abomination. So here, Moses is warning the church, if they do those practices, they can get the same results. But the church don't need to get the same results as these kinds of people, because why? They have been led properly. They've been taught. They have been taught properly. And so now our Heavenly Father don't want his people to indulge in any kind of such practices with these kinds of people. And neither should we. So if we have the word of God and if we understand the word of the Lord and whom to touch and whom not to touch, then we won't touch them. But this is Moses under the Pentateuch. We're not living under the Pentateuch. We're living under Christ. But since we're living under Christ, we have these kinds of enemies that is doing this kind of work. We need to know whom they are and the name of their works and how to avoid them, because we are elevated people in the Word of God when we have been developed in the Word of God on behalf of the gospel. Now we have intercession. However, since we have, when I say intercession, we have the intercessor there, which is the high priest, which is Christ, which works through prayer, which works with prayer. So often, if we haven't gotten it for, we can get involved with the wrong kinds of workers. So we don't want to do that. But this is Moses warning and exalting Israel not to indulge in any of these works or not to get involved with any of these kinds of people. Because if they do, then that work that they get involved with will develop an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, I'm still reading, I'm going to read here at the 12th verse. For all that do these things are an abomination, unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doeth drive them out from before thee. So the Lord is driving these kinds of people out from before them because he's giving them a new way. He's giving them some new territories, giving them some property. He's giving them some land. Not property. He's giving them some land. How? He's giving it to them through the works and the word that he's given Moses. So when we're elevated in the Word of God in Christ, we need to know what is in the land. So if we know that these kind of people practice these type of works, then we know not to touch them. Okay, the 13th verse. Why is it that our Heavenly Father has given Moses this word? He's given Moses this word for the protection of the church. 13th verse. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. So our Heavenly Father wants Israel to be perfect, meaning to be perfected, meaning to be complete for righteousness' sake, for the Word of God. Because Moses have been teaching the church, leading and guiding the church with new rules and regulations, with a guide on how to eat, how to dress, and how to live. So now Moses is exhorting the church how to be protected. So how to be protected and how to be perfect. So can we be perfect in Christ? Yes, if we get the proper teachers in front of us to show us how, to give us direction as to how to perfect. When we don't have proper teachers in front of us and guides and apostles and pastors and evangelists, we don't have perfected people in front of us to give us guide and direction, then we do not know. Verse 14, but these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observances of times, unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. So Israel was prohibited from touching any of that work, because that work is of the devil. We need to know who the devil is, because the devil works through the flesh. We need to know what's evil and what's not, because these people work with different names. They cover their names up with mediums, and they cover their names. When a person is working with a name, then that person is expected to perform duties and labor according to that name. But you got these kind of people, they are deadly, they are there to destroy. 15 verse, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. So here Moses is still in prophecy. He's still establishing the church with new hope, future hope. So Moses He is the one that our Heavenly Father established Israel for freedom. Our Heavenly Father marched Israel out of Egypt land where they were in bitter bondage, and now they are free. But being free is good, but Moses is here giving the church knowledge, giving the church understanding. He's given the church a word of understanding, and he's given the church a word of direction. So if we don't have direction, then how do we live? So here is a new promise coming forth for the church, for Israel. 15 verse, the Lord thy God will raise up, meaning he will elevate it, he will elevate up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, meaning of the church, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. So Moses is here giving the church a brand new promise. When we have the right prophet in front of us, or prophetess, when the Lord is working with that person, and we know that that person is righteous, trustworthy, and in condition to give us a word from heaven, from Jesus Christ, if we follow that word, if we put that word in our spirit and heart and practice that word, then we should live, not be in the dark. We should be in the dark. We shouldn't be confused. We shouldn't stumble. But many stumble. Why? Because they don't have direction. Many believers in Christ stumbles because they don't know, they don't have direction. They don't have proper knowledge. They don't have proper understanding. So here Moses is giving the church a brand new promise. 15 verse, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. And this word prophet is in capital letters because this is a major prophet, one who will produce life. That's the one who is producing holiness. So it should be some proof that Moses is here speaking on behalf of Christ. Why? Because prophecy is confirmation. So all the prophets that was after Moses confirmed the coming of the new prophet. So here Christ is the new prophet. Christ is not only the new prophet, but he's also the Savior. He's the one that redeemed the church in his word. He redeemed us, meaning that he gave his life that we would live. All this prophecy. Okay, let's run down to the 18th verse. The 18th verse is, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. So now Moses is giving the church a complete understanding. Where is the prophet coming from? The prophet is coming, is going to be raised up among the brethren, mean among the believers, those whom are chosen. 18th verse, we'll read this once again. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. So now we see prophecy is a command. If the Lord give me a word to give to a group of people or a congregation or a person, that is not a demand, that is a command. When that word came directly from Christ's heart and mouth to my heart, and those who practice that word or believe that word and receive that word, that person should live. 19 verse, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken, the word hearken is defined as listen. That word is spelled as H-E-A-R-K-E-N. So that word is defined as listen to. Hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Meaning that that is defined as I will require that of him, meaning that they will be judged according to what is spoken here. That means that if a prophet give me a word and tell me what to do, if I reject that word and do not do it, that means the Lord is going to hold me accountable for not putting that word into practice. Why? Because the prophet spoke it. Now, Moses is here. He didn't mention the name of Jesus, but I'm in prophecy in the word. So that's how I know. Plus, I've been studying. Plus, I understand the spirit of prophecy, meaning I understand when Jesus Christ speaks or if a prophet is speaking. I understand the spirit in the spirit, the meaning of that word. So let's run over here to, let's prove that Moses was speaking on behalf of, thanks for joining us. So let's prove, see, prophecy is proof. So Jesus Christ, he's the one that produced the work of holiness. Holiness is not a religious work. Holiness is a prophetic work. So many, where I live, speaks on behalf of holiness, but they're talking about religion. They're not speaking on behalf of prophecy. Prophecy is when Jesus Christ speaks to our heart, give us a word, heart to heart. We know it. Why? Because he's holy. We know the voice of the Lord because he is holy. So the Lord will hold us accountable. It's like my children. If I tell one of my children that I want them to go to school, I'm just using this statement as a example. If I tell my child to go to school this morning and my child detour school and did not go, guess what I'm going to do? Hold my child accountable. I'm going to question my child and ask my child, why didn't you go to school today? Well, if they're not going to school, talk to me about it so that I can give a reason, an excuse to the teacher, so that the teacher will understand why my child didn't go to school. So my child is not to just lay out of school. I'm just giving an example here on behalf of prophecy. So if my child don't go to school for a particular time and I don't know it, I am going to hold my child accountable, meaning I'm going to have a judgment there to punish my child for not going to school and not asking me about, is it okay, and or my child didn't go to school, and then check with me for my authority on behalf of them not going to school. So when prophecy comes to us, we are to adhere to it, and we are to comply that word to our practice. If we know it is prophecy, and we do know because Jesus Christ is holy. He's holy, he's righteous, and we know when he speaks to us. So if we do not do it, then we cannot accomplish. We cannot accomplish the faith. We cannot accomplish what is there in that word if we do not do it. So I'm just using my child or my children as an example. If my child do not adhere to my authority when I speak it, then I will have a judgment there to punish my child. maybe I might not want them to use the phone for a week, or maybe I might not allow them to go to the ball game for a week. However, that is my judgment because my child resisted my authority. So back to prophecy, when we do not do what the Lord requires us, what he has spoken to us, which is a command, then there is a judgment there for us, not necessarily kill us or destroy us, but what that means is that our Heavenly Father here is given a word that them who will not adhere to this prophet or will not comply to the word that this prophet will give, then our Heavenly Father is saying that he will require it of him, meaning that he's going to judge them for not doing it. And there is a chastisement process there on behalf of the one that would not adhere and comply his word to their life. So I go in those measures, I take those details, I take those steps because people need to understand what prophecy is. What was spoken is what we live by. However, we live by it in a particular kind of a manner. Meaning when the prophet speaks to you, if you know that that prophet spoke to you and you know it was Christ, or if the prophet is speak and you know it was Christ speaking directly from the heart of that prophet or prophetess, then you are myself is responsible for, is responsible for applying that word to our practices. Excuse me. Let's run over here to John, the first chapter. Let's run over here to John, the first chapter. We're going to prove the scripture, this prophecy, where it came from. So this is John, the first chapter, and the 45th verse. All prophecy must be confirmed. And the 45th verse. Now let's run up to the 44th verse. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. 45th verse. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law, because Moses, we just got to read it, in the law, and the prophets did write. What other prophets wrote about Moses? Isaiah, he was one of the prophets that wrote about Moses. Excuse me, correction. He was one of the prophets that wrote about Jesus. Guess who else had a word on behalf of Jesus Christ? Jeremiah. I'm going to read this once again. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So Jesus is now on the scene. His name was not mentioned when Moses was prophesying about the new prophet, but his name is now on the scene, which is Jesus. So let's run over here to Isaiah, the 61st chapter, because Isaiah was one of the prophets that confirmed that Jesus Christ, confirmed a word that Jesus Christ was coming. It's 61st chapter of Isaiah, and the first verse, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So here Isaiah, he's speaking on behalf of Christ, but he did not name Jesus. So names are very important, but the reason why Isaiah did not name him, because he didn't have his name. He had a word on behalf of him. Let's run over here to Luke, the 4th chapter, because all this work must be proven. The work must be proven. Why? Because the work must be in condition to be believed on. Okay, so let's run over here to Luke, the 4th chapter. And we're going to prove that Isaiah is just speaking on behalf of Jesus. The 4th chapter and the 17th verse. So here, this is the 4th chapter and the 17th verse. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. 18 verse, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. 19 verse. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. 20 verse. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. 21 verse. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture, meaning prophecy, this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So the scripture was completed. It was fulfilled. Why? Because Jesus Christ is on the scene. I'm going to start here from the 14th verse. I did start down a little bit further. I want to start from the 14th verse. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. What Spirit? The Holy Ghost. Into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all of the region round about. The reason why I'm going back over this, because I should have read that in the first place, because I'm establishing the fact that Jesus Christ is on the scene. He's completely developed into a person after that the word was spoken by Moses first and the other prophets. I didn't read all of the prophets, but I did read one of them. Two of them, that's Moses and Isaiah. So here, and Jesus returned, this is the 14th verse, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all of the region the reason around about 15 verse, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So everyone accepted him and established him as the new prophet, as Jesus Christ. 16 verse, and he came to Nazareth, that's where he was reared, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Okay, so 17 verse. And there was delivered unto him the book of prophet, the book of the prophet Isaiah. So why did the minister deliver the book of the prophet to Jesus, which is Isaiah? I'm going to continue to read. I'm going to read this all over again. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written. So that's how we follow prophecy. We find what's confirmed. So here the work is confirmed. And this is what Isaiah explained about the work of Christ. 18 verse, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach or sermonize, preaching meaning to give a word. Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. 20 verse, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is a scripture, meaning prophecy, scripture fulfilled in your ears. So the church is here witnessing that Christ is now on the scene after that Isaiah had spoken that word centuries before Christ was actually developed into the person that he was prophesizing about. Okay, so I'm going to run over here. I want to talk a little bit about grace. That's Ephesians, the second chapter, in the 4th through the 10th verse. So I'm getting ready to close here. Won't hold you long. It's Ephesians, the second chapter, the 4th through the 10th verse. So I want to talk about grace. Now we don't live by the Pentateuch, the work that Moses did. But it's good to know what the historical prophets thought of concerning certain works. So it's good for us to go and look at it and put it in its proper perspective. We want it in its proper perspective so that we can move forward with our confidence in Christ. So it's good to know what my mother thought about the Bible and what she thought about particular works that other prophets did. Why? The reason why is so that we can have some idea of how to construct our thoughts concerning that particular time. Now we're moving forward. We're not over in the Pentateuch anymore. We're not following any of the works that Moses did, except we're following one scripture there. That's Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, excuse me, the 18th chapter and the 15th verse, and then the 18th verse, that's talking about Christ. So throughout the centuries, that word was developed. That word was developed. So now we're in a brand new, we're under a brand new covenant. We're not under the covenant that Israel was under at that time. We're under a new covenant. We're under Christ. So all that work is to be placed in its proper perspective and left right in that place. Now we're going to move forward and we're going to go over to the new, which is the New Testament. This is the part, the portion of the work that Christ produced for holiness and for deliverance and for our living. So here, out of the second chapter of Ephesians, in the 4th through 10th verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, and he loves us now. 5th verse, even when we were dead in sin. So even when the church was dead in sin, Jesus still loved us. He loves us. Has quickened. The word quicken is defined as to be brought alive. Something that was dead, but yet it was developed into liveliness. Has quickened us together with Christ by grace. By grace. The word grace is favor. Favor. And another word that should go with the word grace is privilege. So now we are the privileged ones. By grace ye are saved. The word ye is defined as you. That's an old word, an ancient word for you. By grace you are saved. From what? From our sin. 6th verse, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, meaning that we have a greater privilege. We have a privilege here because we are living in heavenly places, elevated places in Christ Jesus. 7th verse, that in ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace. So he have riches, he have money, more than one level of grace. He have grace upon grace upon grace for whom? The body of Jesus Christ. 7th verse, that in the ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Speaking on behalf of our Heavenly Father, now the scripture is speaking on behalf of the Trinity. So another word that is defined as that helps us understand grace is kindness. K-I-N-D-N-E-S-S, kindness. So Christ is kind to us. He loves us. 8th verse, but by grace, that's a privilege. If I have grace for someone, that means that I am giving them something. I'm giving them some privileges. But by grace are you saved? Are ye saved through what? Faith. Through faith, meaning works. Someone has to work in order for us to receive grace. Faith. When I'm reminded of faith. When I work, I'm developing faith. If the Lord gave me a command to do the work, and not only me, others, and he did. You see, I said that can be proven how? By faith in prayer, going before the Lord, asking the Lord about that word. For by grace are you saved through faith. Why? Because we are the called ones. We are the one who were chosen by Jesus Christ. We are the one who, those of us whom were called, we are the ones who are chosen. So the writer is here, the apostle here. This is Paul. He's teaching the church. He's giving the church some direction. If we have no directions, then we don't understand what steps to take and what kinds of details to follow. 8th verse, I'm going to read this all over again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's how we are saved. So we don't want to go back and start practicing what we used to practice. Okay, so many said, well, Can we live a sinless life? It depends on who did the work. If I'm doing the work because our Heavenly Father commanded me to do it, and I'm perfected, and I perfect those who believe and those who apply any confidence in the word that I'm working with. If I'm perfected and I'm leading that people into perfection, then that person is completed. But if I'm not completed myself and I'm leading people, I can't say that I can perfect them. I have three of the ministries working, one of which is pastoring. The second is teaching. Pastoring meaning to give information where the people of God can live and can receive and can be built for the word of God. Teaching meaning laying down structure and giving direction and exhortation. Prophetess, I'm also a prophetess, meaning the Lord will give me a word of exhortation to a congregation, to a group, or to a person. I have those three offices. I don't have all five. The apostle have all five offices. Some individual, and they have the whole ministry. I don't. So I can perfect with the three offices that I have, but I cannot perfect with the whole fivefold. Okay? So the ninth verse, I'm explaining who I am. It's good to know who you are. You can enjoy yourself better when you know who you are. If you don't, then you can stumble. Ninth verse, not of works, lest any man should boast. Tenth verse, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, if I don't have all five ministries, and I don't, I have three of them. That's how I'm working. So Paul is here teaching the church whom they are and who was the one that developed them in his word for salvation. Because we do need those steps. We need to understand whom we are and what's the process for our salvation, which is grace. We need to know how are we to believe that we're saved. We're saved by grace, which is defined as privilege. We are a privileged people. We are a privileged people. We're not just any nobody. We are privileged people. So when the scripture here is telling us in the 10th verse, where we are his workmanship, meaning someone worked with us. When you look at my children, you should see the work that I did. That's just an example. You should see the work that I did because I did the work. So if I'm teaching a people, whether it's one, two, or three, about Christ and parts of the work, then those who look at you should see the work that I did in the Lord as the Lord gave me the work. So many people say that pastor, they are under this pastor or that pastor, but there's no proof that Christ has been working with them through that work of that pastor. So if I'm feeding my children, you should see some evidence as to how are they eating. If they're eating a balanced meal, you may not see it when they first start receiving it. And I'm talking about the word of God. Okay, if I'm feeding, okay, let's talk about the natural feeding. If I'm feeding my children a proper meal and they keep continuing at the table with me, and I'm feeding them a proper meal, then others should be able to look at my children and says, well, this person is certainly feeding their children properly because they are beautiful And if I'm building them, depending on how I'm building them, if I'm building their self-esteem, I'm teaching them how to keep their teeth brushed. And I'm teaching them how to keep their hair combed. That's all of that should be in place at 11 and 12 years old. So if I'm doing that kind of labor with them, then others should be able to look at my children and say, oh, that's such a person's child. I don't want to call any names particularly. However, my name is Gwendolyn, but people should be able to look at my children and say, oh, they are so healthy. Their hair looks nice, or they have clean teeth. Their clothes is clean. Why? Because I built them the same in the Word of God. So if I'm teaching, I'm building, I'm exhorting, I'm giving the people giving them direction, giving them understanding, what to touch and what not to touch, the difference in holy and unholy, the difference in hot and cold, the difference in left and right, the difference, there's a difference in my right hand and my left hand. So that's what the teaching is about, is for direction. So people shouldn't be stumbling that sit with me. They shouldn't be stumbling. Why? Because I'm not confusing anyone. And another reason why they shouldn't be stumbling is because the Lord gave me a word to do the work that I'm doing. So if he gave me a word to do the work that I'm doing, and he's working with me, and he is, then those who continue at the table with me, with the Word of God, for the Word of God, if they receive it and put that work to practice, then others should be able to see a good results. We don't just sit with ministries and ministers and yet not develop, except if we reject the work. If we reject the work, then we cannot develop according to Christ. But if we receive the work and if we receive that word, then we should be able to get good results. This is not a... It's not a mental work only. Our mental is involved if we apply our heart. But if we don't, then we can't get that results. So there again, I am teaching holiness. Why? Because that is the deliverance work that Jesus Christ performed during the course of his work when on the earth. So we are they who are reconciled. Reconciled. What does that word mean? We have been reconciled unto God. Let's read here the second chapter and the 16th verse. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So when Christ went out on the cross, he reconciled who? The body. He reconciled those who are chosen. He reconciled us well out on the cross. When he gave his life, then we were reconciled. So now we don't need another Savior to go forth, and we don't need another Savior to go forth and do any more work. However, the work must be performed so that we can develop and so we can get the effect of the life of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to run on down here a little bit further. I'm going to run over here to Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs, I'm talking about giving now. I do believe in applying my resources to ministries that I can prove. If I can prove that the pastor or teacher is doing the work and the Lord is working with the work, and I can prove their character, that they can be trusted, then that's where I put my resources. I put my resources there. Why? Because I want to grow my resources. Now, if you're gonna give your resources, also apply yourself to a business, whatever business you want, so that you can grow. A child is supposed to be developed in a place where they can grow. So if you're giving it to a ministry, it doesn't have to be to me, but if you're giving it to the gospel, then you possibly want to be working so that you can get an effect from Christ for your growth. If I'm going to give my resources to a ministry, I make sure that I'm working so that the Lord can develop me. How? So that the Lord can develop me where I can grow. So you give it to the ministry, then you want to open up your business. It doesn't have to be some big store somewhere. Maybe you got an online business. Maybe you start not in your home with a business. So you don't have to always have everything that you need for business, but you want to have some kind of business idea so you can move forward with your growth. So this is the third chapter of Proverbs and the ninth verse. Honor the Lord. This is Solomon. This is his wisdom. This is Solomon's wisdom. Okay, this is the third chapter of Proverbs and 10th verse. So shall thy barns, ninth verse, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So the writer is here giving us Holy Scripture, which was recorded as Solomon's wisdom. Solomon's wisdom. So he's given us a command here, what and how to honor the Lord with thy substance. My substance, I'm reminded of my substance if I work 1 day or 2 days or 3 days, but that's my substance. So on that third day, I should receive what? A paycheck. So if I receive a paycheck, then that is my substance. But if I follow this particular guide and lead in scripture with the minister, which is myself, then I want to get the first part of my substance. Some can give a dollar. Some can give two, and some can give 100, or whatever you can put in your budget. It's up to you with your budget. However, we are expected an increase. We expected to receive something tangible, something we can see. Tempers, so shall thy barns, B-R-N-S, be filled with plenty. So if my barns in heaven in Christ is filled with plenty, that means that I should have the overflow. The overflow. I am over in Proverbs. This work is still honored as lively because it is prophecy. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. That means I shouldn't have any lack. My mortgage should be paid, my car note should be paid, and I should have the overflow. I should have enough food in the house. If the Lord is working with that level of his word with the minister, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So it means I should have a new flow of resources, a new flow. So you ever seen a person that prospers and prospers and prospers and prospers and grow and grow and grow? So that's what this scripture here is speaking on behalf of. Okay, so I'm getting ready to close here. And remember to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, and all of your soul, and love yourself. Always love self. Next after Christ. Love yourself. You know why you want to love yourself? Because that is the Lord's way. Love yourself. And love your neighbor as yourself.